From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White. Earlier this summer, The Kitchen became the first and only restaurant in Sacramento to earn a star in the Michelin Guide. 2019 was the first year Sacramento restaurants were eligible for the honor. The Kitchen was founded in 1991 by the husband-wife duo, Chef Randall Selland and Chef Nancy Zimmer. They have grown their food empire to 6 restaurants across Sacramento with help from their son, Josh Nelson, and daughter, Tamara Baker. Last week, I spoke with Randall Selland and Josh Nelson about winning that Michelin star and the future of the Selland family restaurants.
Can you explain, for many of us who haven't been there, myself included, The Kitchen? How does the dining experience work there? Because it's not your typical restaurant, right?
No, it's not a typical restaurant. In fact, it was basically, that was our concept from the beginning, is to not be a restaurant. A real restaurant is what we used to call it. I worked in restaurants where I dealt with lethargic staff, going back many years, and lethargic staff meaning the fact of if a whole plate of food comes back and the people don't want to take it home and they say they're full, then I think there's something wrong. But as a cook or sous chef, whatever, I can't walk out in the dining room and go, what the hell's the problem? You just go with the flow. And so to me, it's like those people aren't coming back. So The Kitchen was all based on really just direct contact with people and eliminating the wait staff and trying to take care of people and give them food and have fun.
So what in the business they call the back of the house is really the front of the house.
It's all combined.
Uh-huh.
So there was no rhyme or reason for it. We just wanted to do it, and we loved dealing with directly with the people, and it was fun. And the whole family was there. My wife, my son, my daughter. I mean, it was perfect.
How did you find out about the Michelin star, and what was your reaction?
Now Sacramento has got something that we're noticed for. And we tried for years to get people to notice what we were doing in Sacramento and what a great city this is. My family, we love this place. But everybody go, oh, wow, it's really cool what you do. That's great. So what part of San Francisco or L.A. or what? You know, we're in Sacramento. And they go, well, where's that? So the state capital. Nobody had an interest in our city. And that's what, to me, it means. And it's great for Sacramento. It's great for the chefs and managers that work with us at The Kitchen. They're doing a phenomenal job. We get a lot of people come to The Kitchen that are on the way to Napa, San Francisco, down the coast. And they fly into Sacramento. They stop at The Kitchen, maybe a couple other places, and they move on. So we're on the radar and the foodies radar, but now we're really on the radar, and all of California is. So it's very cool.
Sacramento has always been Sacramento. We've always had great restaurants, but we've never had the possibility of getting a Michelin star. And so I think people have just worked from their heart and put things out that they wanted to put out. And it's actually kind of neat that now Michelin snuck into the market, and all that work that everyone did, which was very, you know, no pun intended, organic and true, really resonated and obviously got them to put Sacramento in the market.
So, Randall, take us back to 1991. You and your wife, Nancy, were both chefs at the time, and that's when you first opened The Kitchen. Why did you decide to leap into restaurant ownership?
Josh talks about things happening organically, and that's kind of what happened to us is we actually looked up 20-some years after opening up and went, oh, my gosh, look, we got all these restaurants in. There's like 350 people that work with us, and it's very humbling for us. Back then, it was just a matter of we wanted to do, as I alluded to before, we wanted to take care of people and have direct contact with them and make it fun, make dining fun. And it's funny on how this whole counter service thing has taken off and people watching people cook in the kitchens. And for us, it just seemed like a natural thing to do is we love people, love talking to them, love taking care of them. So why not have that direct contact instead of being behind four walls and not knowing whether they like things or not? Because you know you can't make everybody happy. So the idea, and this is one of the reasons why I think The Kitchen has been successful, is we don't care if you want a piece of meatloaf and a cheese pizza. I'll have Selland's and 8th Street bring it over to us, and I'll make a fancy shape or something. And, you know, the whole idea of what we do is people give us our hard-earned money to take care of them and show them a good time. And any chef or manager, any restaurant owner that says, well, they're just not for this place, or they don't know food, or whatever that might be, we have the opposite attitude. And there's a lot of chefs in this town that have that love and passion that we do. And that's why Sacramento is such a great food city. That's where it came from.
You chose a place outside the grid Now, in 1991, Midtown and Downtown were really different places than they are today. But how did you end up choosing Arden Arcade to put the kitchen?
Well, wasn't really a choice. So my wife was doing catering at the time. Nancy was doing catering at the time. And we were actually living downtown. And we were doing it all out of our house on E Street. I think statute of limitations is over now. Doing dishes in the bathtub and whatever it might be. I mean, just trying to make it work. And I was working 6 days a week in restaurants. And I was working for a person, Bernice Hagen, who had Bernice's Cookery over in the Five Point Shopping Center. And I'd followed a chef that had taught me how to cook, Kevin Nichols, from the old cookery with Jean-Luc Chassereau. Gosh, a long, long time ago. And Bernice kept saying, oh, people, you know, there's homeless people sleeping there and people break into the kitchen. And I said, well, hey, you know, Nancy would love to have a kitchen to do catering out of. So why don't we'll move and we'll rent the little house in front and take over the kitchen in the back. And that's how it all started. And Marcus Graziano from Capital Cellars wanted Nancy to do, he wanted to bring people in, sell them wine and have us do some little food. And so we did that. Nobody bought any wine, but they loved what we were doing. And so we said, well, let's try this. And that's where it all came about.
Never the intent to do a restaurant from the beginning. You know, on the very first night, we've all worked in the restaurant since day one. And I remember we literally at the end of the night, we're like, that was really fun. We should do this again. Started doing it once a month on Randall's day off and then twice a month. And then, 28 years later, here we are. But I can tell you that even going and working in the restaurant a night at this point, it's still fun. And we've always made that a priority for that restaurant. It's one of the things that I think creates the magic in there is that you go in and we strip away all the pretension and allow people to really relax and enjoy themselves and have a good time. And how we do that is by having a good time ourselves.
What was the first restaurant outside of the kitchen?
Sellens on 8th Street.
Yeah. East Tamara and Nancy. Yeah.
December 2001.
Yeah, Nancy and Tamara had this idea to do the cafe, and Nancy and I had just moved to East Sacramento because our Tamara had our first grandchild, and we were living out in Carmichael, and she was downtown, and we said, you drive out to Carmichael? And she goes, it's too far. You drive downtown? And we said, we're not going to do that. And she says, you guys love it down in East Sac. You should move down. So we rented a house and bought a house 6 months later and never looked back. But it's funny, we're driving down 8th Street and we drove by where Sellens, and Nancy goes, that's it. And I go, what do you mean with that? So what's going on? What do you mean? And she says, that's where I want to open up the cafe. And I said, all right. So we did it. And it's been a great success for us and it's helped us a lot. And what's funny is
Josh, we signed a lease.
Yes.
I need a business plan.
That's exactly what happened. But what's funny is people see me with Nancy, and I'm, of course, the face of the company. And the only thing the whole family says to this day, the only mistake they made with any of the restaurants is they put me out front and put my name on stuff, because people always think it's all me. And it's like, no, it's the family. I'm just the face.
So just for the record, my mother, Nancy Zimmer, and my sister, Tamara Baker, are the founders of the restaurant group.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we should bring them in right now.
Well, they needed me.
I'll see you guys later.
It would be a more interesting conversation, I'm sure.
Yeah, just teasing. Yeah. How many restaurants are you up to now?
We have six restaurants. We have 3 Sellens, Oboe Italian Table and Bar, Ella Dining Room and Bar, and the Kitchen.
The Kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, and there's more on the way that we'll talk about in a little bit. So, Josh, I read that you came up with the term farm to fork that is now Sacramento's signature, welcome into the city if you're coming up I-5. Is that true?
We recognized it and pointed it out to the mayor and Mike Testa, and Mike Testa and the mayor got it, which was great.
Mike Testa with Visit Sacramento.
With Visit Sacramento, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Mike deserves a little pat on the back for what he's done for the food scene in Sacramento, yeah. For sure. You know, it's not something you can create, right? It is there. And so you fly in over an airplane and you look down out the window and you see the grid, and some people like Phil Jackson see a cow town, right?
Yes.
I saw a farm town and saw this as this is one of our great assets and something we should really be proud of, not something we should be embarrassed of or ashamed of. Sacramento seems to love it, hate itself at times. But, and so Daryl Fong was a city councilman at the time, was a dear friend, and I chatted with him about the idea of, you know, we should be the farm-to-fork capital of America. This is something that's really unique about us, and we should state it and state it proudly. And so he started working on it with me and got me introduced to Mike. I mean, I knew Mike, but, you know, Mike would be a great person to work on this with. And so I worked with Mike Testa, and then those two guys, their two offices, really worked with the mayor's office on kind of solidifying the announcement and moving forward with it. And so it's yeah, we thought of it, but it's really just a recognition of what's already here.
It seems pretty widely accepted now, but there was a little bit of pushback in the beginning when the, you know, City of Trees moniker was pulled away. How did you feel at that point? Were you nervous? Like,
I think I look at it a little bit different. I don't think that we're Sacramento is just one thing. So we're absolutely the City of Trees. I've heard, at least what I was told, was the story of the City of Trees, and it's not that different than the story of Farm to Fork, right? If someone had an idea and they put it out there and they made their announcement and recognized what was here. I think we're still a City of Trees. I think what's so cool about Farm to Fork to me is that it touches everything. Trees are important to Farm to Fork, right? Like it's air, it's water, it's health. There's so many things that it's doing good with food, and that really touches everything.
But there is more Class A soil in this region, this Northern California area that we're in. So it's not just Sacramento, but it's a region than there's anywhere else in the world. And if you look at the quality and the number of crops grown throughout this region, it's pretty darn amazing. And the thing is people go, oh, they ship it all off to wherever it might be. And it's like, yeah, they ship off stuff because people pay a premium for the cherries and the almonds and all the things that we grow around here. And it's exciting. So when people say it's just a brand or it's just a slogan, it's not. We live it every darn day. And, you know, Josh is very, you know, didn't really tell the full story, but I used to go, we still go to the farmers markets all the time, and he actually started selling t-shirts in Selins on 8th Street with the logo. He came up with made the logo and had this whole Farm to Fork thing going and just running it through the restaurant because, you know, we believed that this was a real thing.
We're speaking with Chef Randall Selland and CFO Josh Nelson about their family restaurant, The Kitchen. It was recognized as a 1-star Michelin restaurant earlier this year. And back to that, describe the process through which restaurants are considered and then awarded stars. It's very secretive, and you don't know when the people are there doing the judging, right?
I don't know the process because it is very secretive. But yeah, they come in the restaurant, and from what I understand, they come in the restaurant a handful of times. And so we can look back now at the Michelin Guide and see the dishes that they mention, right? And we change our menu constantly, right? So we're able to identify when we think they were there, which was like a year and a half ago is when it started. So from the dishes in the guide and matching them up to our menus, we can see that they came over a period of at least a year before they made any kind of announcement.
And they could be there today working on the next one, right? You don't get a star and keep it for life. You continually have to upkeep the star, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the star, they do re-review the restaurants every single year. I think that any restaurant now that's like aspiring to be in next year's guide, they're probably not going to be. They're going to probably be, you know, 2 years out if they are able to catch the attention. But it's a process, and it definitely takes time.
Is that a lot of pressure to maintain the star? Because I would imagine that once you have it, having it taken away would be somewhat of a black eye for the place.
That's true. But at the same time, you know, as we said before, you know, we didn't aspire for it. And we didn't actually know we were going to get one. You know, just didn't know what was going to happen because our chef, Kelly McCowan, love Kelly dearly. He's been with us for a long, long time. And he's worked in Michelin star restaurants before. And, you know, we'd have these conversations to where he goes, we just don't fit the criteria. We're not what they're usually looking for. And if they give us one, then they're kind of creating something different. And he goes, the only thing really we fit into is the fact that people will travel to come to the restaurant. But other than that, we don't fit any of the norms. So it was pretty darn exciting.
We obviously have great food and great service, or we think so.
Yeah, what are they looking for? Like when you were saying that you don't fit the norms, what are considered to be the norms?
Quality of food, consistency of food, using great product. I can't remember. They have 5 different criteria. I can't remember them all offhand. But The Kitchen also, what's unique about it is that it's not a normal restaurant. We've put the kitchen in the dining room, essentially. We allow you to be in the back of house the whole time. And so you get to see a lot of the underbelly. And historically, the Michelin restaurants, you have everything tucked away. It's a very quiet, controlled environment. And the kitchen's just literally the exact opposite.
The exact opposite
of that.
And so exhibition as you can get almost,
yeah,
right?
We have all the bells and whistles, but the traditional environment of a restaurant we've really stripped away and flipped on its head.
I've heard that it's difficult to get a reservation at The Kitchen. I would imagine post-star announcement that has become an even more difficult process.
Yeah, I guess. We book 2 months in advance. via, I guess, OpenTable, and then we'll book up to 6 months in advance via the telephone. And so those blocks have always been pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say that our phone's not ringing more, but we're still seating the same amount of people. And so that idea of the pressure of keeping the star, I think there's pressure there. But the truth is that we always have done what we've done, and we aspire to be better every single day. And we'll be better this year than we were last year. We'll be better next year than we were this year. You know, I don't, knock on wood, we've always strived to be better, and they obviously recognized what we've done.
Yeah.
Well, we've got, what, how many years? 8 years of AAA Five Diamond?
11.
11
like
years
11
of
years
AAA,
of AAA
Five Diamond?
Five Diamond. I could have that number wrong, but AAA is, you know, American's version of a Michelin star. We've had OpenTable top 100 restaurants in America, Yelp top 100 restaurants in America, top 25 in Forbes. I mean, we've really semifinalists for James Beard. We've been pretty fortunate in the amount of press that we've got. Michelin seems to have got the most press locally, which is kind of ironic in that it's a travel guide. And Michelin's not telling Sacramento anything Sacramento didn't already know about itself. It's telling the rest of the world. And that's the point and what makes Michelin great and unique.
Yeah. And you could have had a star much earlier. It was just that up until this last year, Michelin had only been in the Bay Area and the wine country.
Sure.
So they only just expanded to the rest of California now. And boom, you guys get a star.
Yeah. So we... again, the region was never eligible, and so people, why hasn't Sacramento got a star? And you've had some people, you know, a lot of people have put out great food for a long, long time that are star worthy. And in my opinion, I'm surprised we're the only people that got a Michelin star. But that's just not the way Michelin works. If you're not in their market, it doesn't matter how great you are. And so there's obviously tons of undiscovered restaurants across the nation.
Randall, you touched on this a little bit already, but I want you to go a little more into it. How has Sacramento's restaurant scene changed since you opened the kitchen? How have you seen it change?
Back in the old days, and I'm dating myself because everything seems to be decades now. It used to be a couple of years ago, and now it's decades ago. But, you know, it's funny. Good cooks, good chefs, they left Sacramento to go somewhere else. I was always here, you know, Nace. I had two small children, and so we're not going anywhere. And so we put them to work. But that being said, as time has gone on, people all of a sudden they leave town, and we've gotten chefs and people that work with us that have gone to New York and L.A. and San Francisco, and then all of a sudden, you know, they leave single and they come back married with a kid or two, and they're coming back because it's like, I need babysitters, I need a place I can actually afford to live in. And so they come back here. So we're just getting so many people coming back to Sacramento to be part of what we've got going here. And again, the kitchen was started on kind of a, not even a whim, just a, let's just do this and we'll do our style of food and our flavors and we'll go to the farmer's market all the time and deal with little small farmers and just, you know, survive. And that's kind of what we were doing. The whole idea in the beginning was to keep a roof over our heads, keep our little car running, which barely ran, and keep Josh in little Izod shirts and, nice. You know, and make the kids lunch every day for their school. And that was our premise for the whole thing. And that's why, again, it's like we're, Nate and I feel like the luckiest people in the world.
You both have seen food fads come and go, of course. And some things, you know, stick around for a long time. You have plans to expand further. Tell us about what Sullen Family Restaurants have coming up next.
Nance and I are out of everything. In fact, I you know, just to tell you a quick story, it's funny because we were kind of out of day-to-day operations for like 6 months. And I looked at her and I said, why don't I not want to go in? Why do I just, I don't have an interest. I don't need to do this anymore. And she goes, because we're either all in or we're all out. We're either like 24/7. Which is why I always tell people when they want to open up a business, I said, you know, keep your day job in case your new thing doesn't work out. And they go, well, why would I do that? I'm working 24/7. I go, that's the idea of having your own business. And Nancy and I are kind of out of it. It's Josh and Tamara and their friends actually doing it. And we're giving them any help they can get. But it's all our kids. It's the second generation now moving on.
Josh, I understand fried chicken is coming up next.
So we're working on a project called Bawk, B-A-W-K. Sound a chicken mix. Looking to open, I think, in August. And we're partnering with Rob Archie from Pangea and Urban Roots, one of my best friends. And we've met him a gosh, about 11 years ago, and lived down the street from Pangea, become good friends and watched him grow over the years and really respect what he does. And so this will literally be our first partnership we've ever done. It's a little bit outside of the Cell and Family Restaurant fold. My sister and I called it a freedom project, stripping away a lot of the stuff and
get rid of mom
little,
and dad.
A little right? more.
Yeah. This will be on the ever growing R Street corridor.
Yeah. So it's right next to Shady Lady and the old Magpie location. And so we took the Magpie location and the location that was next door to it and put them together. So a little bigger than Magpie.
I'm curious, with Farm to Fork and all of that, any plans to capitalize on the growing market for plant-based foods with like a vegetarian-focused restaurant?
Not currently. I think the family has always, we've always eaten pretty healthy. So fried chicken aside, I think you'll find when you see Bach that there'll be a lot of healthy stuff on that menu as well. But Sunflower Drive-In in Old Fair Oaks has always been, you know, we've been going to that restaurant since the 70s. Love vegetarian food. I'm not going to say it would never happen. We would love to do it. The idea of introducing another brand is a little daunting, though.
You've got plenty to deal with right now, right?
And I just want to let you know, Josh is, you know, we're talking about expanding the Selling family. Is people do ask us all the time, but it is so difficult to keep going what we have going. And to be honest with you, our focus, and it's not a sales pitch, it's just on taking care of making people happy. Of course, you can't make everybody happy, but, you know, I think you dilute the brand if you just keep opening up things. Like we were trying to franchise out or, you know, open up more sell-ins. We were looking at the Bay Area. We looked there for a few years. Didn't work out, and we're so happy we didn't, because it's like we've finally went, we're just content with what we've got, and life is great, and people are happy, and that's all that matters.
Growing is about keeping great staff more than growing a company.
Yeah.
Giving people a place to grow into.
Is that tough in an economy like ours right now, where we have unemployment rates that are so low?
It is the single toughest thing about our industry, for sure, is hiring, finding great staff. And so you work really hard to retain the ones you have. And we're very fortunate. We have great cooks, great chefs, great waiters, great managers. And, you know, we now have a corporate office that we have a great team there that floats through the restaurants and helps plug holes and gives people time off. And historically, the restaurant industry is notorious for crazy long hours. And, you know, we've all done all that. Everybody that's worked for us has done that. But we've worked really hard. We're a bit top heavy in that we have a corporate team that goes around and fills empty shifts and things, so people don't have to work those hours and they still get to have a family life and a personal life.
And, you know, the norm for a restaurant worker is 2 years, like a cook. And we've had people with us for 10 years, 15 years. I mean, we're very lucky to be able to keep people. And it's funny because we have people sometimes leave us, and my line to them is always, you know, watch out what you say about us on the outside, because you never know when you see us again. It's amazing how many people come back to us. And Josh runs very organized, very disciplined. You know, he knows where everything's at any given time. So people sometimes leave us because they think we're a little too, you know, we have rules and that we like people to follow. And then they come back because they go, yeah, you guys actually...
Wow, rules. I like them.
Right? It's the funniest thing. It really is true. Yeah. It's the funniest thing, yeah.
Well, it's that grass is always greener syndrome, you know, and then you get there and you realize, oh, actually, that was pretty nice on the other side. I believe people should work at least 1 year of their life in the restaurant industry just to get that perspective. And it changes how you behave when you're out at a restaurant.
I judge a person by how they treat a server. Absolutely. I think it shows a lot about character. Yeah.
Well, Chef Randall Sellin, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And son Josh Nelson, who's running the ship right now at Sellin Family Restaurants, thank you for being here today as well.
Randall, thank you for having us.
That's Chef Randall Sellin and CEO Josh Nelson talking with me last week about the kitchen winning a Michelin star. They're planning to open Bach on R Street later this year in collaboration with Rob Archie from Urban Roots Brewing and Smokehouse. We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.